was nothing farther from the facts. No black sheep pilot had ever been charged with a court-martial offense, but such false allegations had a detrimental effect on the professional careers of a number of the former black sheep. These lawyers, college professors, businessmen, government officials, artists, and engineers did not appreciate the label of bums and misfits. Nor certainly did the widows, mothers, fathers, and children of those black sheep who had given their lives in the service of their country. As intelligence officer of the original black sheep squadron, I knew how false the picture was. I had retired in Hawaii after 27 years of service with the Marine Corps, the Los Angeles Police Department, and the State Department's Foreign Service when I was approached by some former black sheep to try to arrange a reunion. After all those years, locating men from 23 states was a formidable job, but the search was a labor of love. I started with the 33-year-old addresses listed in my war diaries. Leads from these gave me more addresses. I found that some had not lived to return to the states. Bill Crocker had been lost on a mission out of Green Island on 25 March 1944. Bill Hobbs had been lost over New Ireland on 30 March 1944. Paul Mullen had returned to the States and then gone out to Japan, where he'd been lost in a mid-air collision in Kakuma on 12 February 1946. Stan Bailey had gone on to command the new VMF 214 on a carrier assignment. He then returned to Hawaii, where he'd been lost on a night flying mission on 5 April 1948. Bob Bragdon and John Brown had died of natural causes after the war. Including the 11 we'd lost during our two combat tours, a total of 17 had gone to the Valhalla for fighter pilots, leaving 34 survivors from the original 51 black sheep. It took 2 years, several hundred letters, and long-distance telephone calls, and the resources of Marine Corps headquarters, hometown newspapers, local police, and in some cases the FBI to locate them all. Would they be interested in coming to Hawaii for a reunion? Many of them were, and 17 did, 15 with their wives. It was an exhilarating experience for all of us. We held a luau, we dredged the words of old songs from our collective memories, we met with the young pilots from the squadron stationed at the Kanaoe Marine Corps Air Station and marveled at the fact that even the helmets fighter pilots now wear cost $20,000. The black sheep pilots' helmets had cost something like $1.50. The reunion whetted our appetites to try for a repeat performance, and that opportunity came in the 1980 invitation to participate in the induction of a Corsair into the Smithsonian Institution. Greg Tucker, lawyer son of black sheep Bernie Tucker, worked out the details with the National Air and Space Museum of the Smithsonian. I supplied the addresses of all the surviving black sheep. 18 of us attended the ceremony. That was when I decided to tell the story of these young eagles who flew and fought in the South Pacific some 40 years ago, and of what happened to them in the decades that followed. Part 1. The Black Sheep Squadron in Combat. Born of the sun, they traveled a short while toward the sun, and left the vivid air signed with their honor. Stephen Spender, I think continually of those. Chapter 1. Recollection. It is 5 minutes of 5 on a black tropical morning. The darkness is relieved at infrequent intervals by brief flashes of lightning which momentarily bathe our airfield in blue-white light. Even at this hour, the air is warm, moist. A smell of decaying vegetation drifts out of the thick jungle that presses in against the airstrip. All around me are deep shadows of the high dirt revetments along the taxiways, lined by tall coconut palms. I can hear the cough and rumble of the engines on our fighting planes. I can see the spitting blue flames of their exhausts. Last night at 10 o'clock, I had briefed the whole flight. The target is Rabaul, last Japanese South Pacific stronghold. Breakfast was at